look to the Lord once again and thank Him for this time now to finish out our time thinking about His Word. Our Father, we are thankful for this service, the blessing it's been. We thank You for these who were here. We thank You, You put it in their hearts to come out this evening. I pray that as we now turn our attention to Your Word, help us to blot out perhaps things we have planned for tomorrow, things we might do. I pray that You would have our attention and that we would listen to what Your Spirit would want to speak to us about in and through Your Word. We'll thank You now in Your name. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Andrew, why don't you call this one, as far as writing down a title, Following His Example. Following His Example. As we think about this, I want us this evening to take a look at the teaching from our Lord while He was here, and it has to do with the topic that, well, what are you supposed to do with your enemies? Punch them between the nose?
Love them.
We're supposed to love our enemies. How many of you think that's easy? Can I see your hand? It's not easy. But our Lord taught us, and He gave us His own example. We see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, you have heard it said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Where did that come from? Hate your enemy. Do you know where that came from? That was in the Old Testament. You say, really? Yeah? Really? You say, I'm not so sure it says that. Let's look. Deuteronomy 23, verse 6. Deuteronomy 23, verse 6. Notice in verse 3, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and water in the way, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Pethor, of Mesopotamia to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Here you go. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all their days forever. Don't ever wish that God would be good to those enemies. There's another reference that we can look at in Psalm 41:10. In Psalm 41:10. Notice in Notice in verse 9, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Verse 10, but thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up that I may requite them. The King James Version says, you know what that means? Raise me up that I may repay him. That I can give it back to him, what he did to me. My own best friend who lifted up his heel against me. Well, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. You've heard it said in verse 43, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So, as we look at this, for you note takers, we call this, number one, the instruction he gave. The instruction he gave in these two verses. You've heard it said, but I say unto you, different from the accepted belief of the day. That's what they had been taught through the Old Testament teaching. Hate your enemies. But when our Lord came and was here on this earth, he set forth a new way of dealing with our enemies. And he said here, specifically, number one, love your enemies. Well, I guess I should say A for you note takers. B, bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. What does that mean? Speak well of them. Thank or invoke a benediction upon them. Ask the Lord to bless them. C, do good to them that hate you. Humanly speaking, we all know what we would like to do, don't we? To someone who has done something against us, it's caused us some grief, it's caused us some turmoil. But our Lord said, in contrast to what you have been taught, I say unto you, this third thing here, C, do good to them that hate you, and then D, pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a pretty big order, don't you think? Pretty big order. How is it possible? Or is it possible? Remember what we've titled this evening, Following His Example. And number two for you note takers is, let's notice, we saw the instruction he gave, but number two, let's look at the example he set. The example he set. Our Lord instructed us. He gave us a pretty difficult challenge, but he showed us it's possible. Let's see A, first of all, he had said, let's see the first thing he said, you're supposed to love your enemies. Well, let's look at Romans 5, 6 through 10. Romans 5, 6 through 10. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, or perhaps, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You say, well, Pastor, what example did the Lord set? He set the example of loving his enemies by doing what for them? He loved you and me so much that he died. He died for us, didn't he? That's quite an example. And like Paul said, you know, for a righteous man, maybe some man might die. For a good person, maybe somebody would be willing to give their life. We talked about even, Frank, a few moments ago, the veterans. And we think about those who serve, knowing full well when they were anywhere near the battlefield that at any second there could be entering into their bodies the bullet that would take their life. Why were they doing that? They were risking their lives for the ones back home. But do we risk our lives? Do we give our lives for an enemy? Not really, do we? We figure he's going to get what's coming to him. But Christ, he gave himself for us, and he showed us it is possible to love one's enemies, because he certainly loved you and me and gave himself for us. But B, the second thing he said, bless them that what? Curse you. Bless them that curse you. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 50.
Verse 50 and 51.
And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now, what was that soldier there for? He was there for the purpose of doing what? Taking our Lord into custody and take him away. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And instead of the Lord just looking at that soldier and saying, "Well, that's one of the perils of being a soldier. I mean, you get wounded and deal with it." What did our Lord do? He reached down, touched the ear, and healed him. In one of the verses, he even reprimanded Peter and told him to put his sword away. Now is not the time. And so we see, here was one, do good to those that are persecuting you. And the Lord showed the example of that by healing the man who had his ear cut off. And finally, our Lord said, "Pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you." Luke 23, just turn the page. Did our Lord pray for those who persecuted and despitefully used him? Look at Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, "Father, give it to them." He didn't say that. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." But they parted his raiment and cast lots. These were the ones that were despitefully using, persecuting him. These were the very ones that had nailed him to the cross. And as we think about the example that our Lord set, and we think about that instruction that he gave, he said, "You've heard it said that you are to hate your enemy. But I say to you, love them. Bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them." And in each of those things that he instructed his men, he set the example by doing it himself. Well, let's see number three. What would we look at? The truth that he taught. The truth that he taught. We go back to Matthew chapter 5 and notice, if we could, in verses 46 and 47. 46 and 47. What truth was he teaching as he was demonstrating to his own disciples the importance of how to treat our enemies? He says in verse 46, "If you love them which love you, what reward have you?" He said, "Do not even the publicans, the tax collectors, the same. If you salute your brethren only, or act graciously toward your friends and those who treat you well, what do you more than others? For even the publicans do so." So what do we see here? What is the truth that he taught? That same thing you can find in Luke 6:32-34, for you note takers, and you can just check it later. We are to go beyond the expected response with our enemies, because any one of us can return favors to people who have benefited us. You did me well, I'll do you well. If you were kind to me, I'll be kind to you. Anybody can do that, right? That's kind of the way people are. Just kind of tit for tat. The way you treat me is the way I'm going to treat you. There's nothing to brag about that. But the illustration that he used is, that's number four. The illustration that he used, the truth that he taught, is go beyond what might be expected. And he gave an illustration of that, number four, in Matthew 5:45. When he had just taught them, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you might be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth rain on the just as well as the unjust. Does the Father just bless those that we might say are worth getting blessed? Yes or no? Of course not. We find that he gives equally. Whether it's the sunshine, whether it's the rain, whatever. And as we look at this land of ours, I believe we would have to say, the Lord blesses the unrighteous as well as the righteous. Wouldn't you say so in this nation? Is it only believers that have much more abundance than they ever need and could use? No! God has poured out his blessings on everybody, and that's the illustration that he used when he said, go beyond what's expected. Don't just repay them in the same manner in which they paid you. Give more. Go more. The illustration that he used, and here's the way he put it in Luke 6:35. Just a second. Luke 6:35. Wrong reference. Sorry about that. The Father sent the rain. He causes the rain to fall. He's kind to the unfaithful. He's kind even to the merciful. Here now is the point that uses the verse that I wanted to share with you. Number five. The difference he emphasized. And this is the key to the whole issue of our Lord's teaching as far as how to get along with our enemies. Sometimes it's even referred to as the golden rule. In Luke 6:31, that's what I wanted to read a minute ago, what did Jesus say? As you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. That's how our Lord wants us to treat our enemies. Not give them what they have coming to them, but to treat them the way we would like them to treat us. The significance in Matthew 5:45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He makes his sun to rise on the evil, on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. that you may be the sons of God. Is this suggesting that there's some doubt whether or not you're saved? No. But what he is pointing out here is that you might be doing that which is consistent with the Father's will for one of his children. That's how the Father wants us to treat those who mistreat us. His only begotten Son, our Savior, demonstrated that, and he wants you and me that know him as our own personal Savior to do that same thing. Here's a question. Do you have this one mastered? Do you have some areas where maybe some improvement is needed? Perhaps we might ask ourselves, I don't know how I can do that. Well, here's some answers. As we ask ourselves, how? A, where's love come from? When the Lord says, I instruct you to love your enemies, is that just touchy-feely, light-hearted stuff? Is this the kind of love that he's talking about? No. Where does love come from? Somebody can speak up.
God.
It comes from God. And that's how we can love our enemies. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. I don't have human love. I don't have love to give to an enemy of mine, myself. I'll be honest with you. But I know I'm instructed to love them. And in Christ, through the love of God, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So when he asks us to love our enemies, he is prepared to give us that love to do that very thing, because it doesn't come from within. And so we need to say, Lord, you know what Fred did to me, and you know what my thoughts are, but I know what your instruction is for me, and I'm not supposed to give him what he gave me, but instead, I'm supposed to treat him like I wish he would treat me, and I can't do that. Would you help me? Would you give me the love I need for Fred right now as I talk with him and as I deal with him? Romans chapter 5. B. We saw, first of all, love is of God. But B, Romans 5 tells us this, that God's love has been shed abroad in the heart of a believer. Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Doesn't say that it's coming. It says instead it's what? It has already been shed abroad in our hearts. He has already put within us, in the person of his Holy Spirit, the capacity to love that one. Yes, at the moment we might need to be praying about it and admit to the Father, I really don't want to do this, but I want to be obedient to you, and I thank you that you have given me the love I'm to show Fred. See, love is produced by the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and let's notice verse 22. Well, this is a familiar verse, isn't it? What do you mean it's produced by the Holy Spirit? We call it what? The fruit of the Spirit. The very first thing mentioned in the fruit that the Spirit produces. You know, every one of these things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, you and I don't have that capacity at all in ourselves. But remember, we talked this morning, the Lord said, you are the what? You are the light of the world. And this is some of the light that can shine when we allow the Holy Spirit to produce His fruit in us as we deal with our enemies. It is possible. He showed us the example, and He has given us the power. May God help us. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for this portion of Scripture that we look at, and we might be tempted to say, boy, that's certainly unreasonable. But the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to the natural man. You have given us the Holy Spirit. We are a spiritual being. And what you instruct your own to do, you have spiritually enabled us to fulfill. May we be doers of your word, not just hearers only, in this area with regards to those whom we might call our enemies. We ask this for your glory. In your name I pray.